So here we go. If you guys have your Bibles, go ahead and jump into the book of Exodus. So how many of you guys, you hang out with your friends, and how many of you have friends that you haven't seen in like a while? How many of you have friends you haven't seen in a while? What do you guys do whenever you get together with friends you haven't seen in a while? What are some things you guys do? What do you do?
We catch up.
You catch up. Yeah, that's good. What do you guys do? You
cry.
That's good. What do you guys do?
We hug.
We hug. Yes, that's a good thing. Yeah, back there, what do you guys do?
We ask them how they're doing.
You ask them how they're doing. Yeah, that's good.
We go somewhere to talk.
I want to hear from a boy. All this talking. What do you guys, Kimmy, what do you guys do?
See
you what? You shake hands and go on with your lives. That's good. That's a perfect explanation. Yes, over here. You watch TV together. Yeah, so there's a bunch of stuff that you guys can do together whenever you get together with friends you haven't seen in a while. So I grew up moving around a lot. I say this all the time. And so basically, every once in a while, I would get to go back and visit my friends that I hadn't seen in a while. And the main thing, you guys, that always usually happens if you're hanging out with people that you haven't seen for a while people that have moved far away, after all the activities are over, after you guys are done with most things in your evening, the night will kind of dissolve into storytelling. So I feel like I'm a pretty good storyteller, but every time that we're together, I'm always like, oh guys, this happened to me, or this happened to me. And we try to catch up and relate with each other by telling stories about, hey, like you missed this in my life, but I want to share this experience with you. Or it becomes, hey, remember when we did that thing? Like, remember when we snuck out and jumped out of the window and that was really fun and we got in a ton of trouble and we should never do that again? Yeah, remember that? That was really crazy. Or, hey, remember that one time that you were in class and you farted and then everybody looked at you and thought you were really, like, weird? That's a funny story because it actually happened to me. So the very first time that I was at a school, I'd only been there for like 1 week. I had to sit in a class and like read books because I was behind because I wasn't up with their curriculum. And I sat there and I was like, okay, I think I'm okay. And I sneezed and I farted at the same time. And I thought, I was like, maybe nobody heard that, but everybody did. And then for the rest of the school year, nobody wanted to learn my name. I was just the kid who farted in literature class. So that was terrible. But I ended up having a friend who came out of that. And it was one of those things later on that was like, Adam, remember that one time you farted in class? And I'm like, yeah, I remember that. And it was horrible. But I think it's good for us. We are a people of storytelling. Like, we love to share stories and say, hey, this is what I did, right? How many of you have phones in here? Like, anytime that you're with people or hanging out, what are you guys constantly doing? You're taking pictures. Oh my gosh, let's take pictures together. Oh my gosh, let's take a picture. Let's take a selfie together. Let's take a picture of this thing that happened. Let me take a picture of your picture that you took of that picture that was a picture. That's great. So we're a people of sharing stories because we want to share with people so that they know and they remember, hey, this is a thing that happened, right? Every year, it comes around for everybody. We all have, a birthday, right? So every year we all have a birthday and we celebrate and we maybe share stories, but at least once a year we look back and it's like, hey, let's celebrate you. Let's remember who you are, how special you are, the cool things that you do. And let's bring friends over to talk about, hey, we love you. We appreciate you for these things. This is really cool. And so I think that we are a people of storytelling, and remembering is a part of our DNA. Like, it's built into who we are that we would remember things that have happened in our lives, and we share those stories with each other, whether it's with strangers or with people that we know. Like, if somebody asks you, hey, who are you? Like, if they looked at you and they're like, Courtney, tell me about yourself. Who are you? What would you start to do? You would start to tell stories about yourself, about, like, maybe what you do, or, I know, I called you out. I'm so sorry. This is the first person I saw. That's what happens when you sit in the front, which is great. But you start to tell stories about, hey, this is who I am, and it's all storytelling, and it's all, hey, I remember these things about me. And so I would say that remembering is key to our growth as individuals and communities. We remember good things to be encouraged and to repeat them, and we retell bad or sad moments to ensure that we don't repeat those mistakes. Like history class, you guys are always hearing about things that have happened in the past. We talk about good things, and we talk about bad things, like war and just a lot of maybe tragedies that happened or just really unfortunate events. And we remember those stories to say, let's make sure as a community, as a group of people, that this doesn't happen again. Right? Does that make sense? You guys tracking with me? You guys good? Everybody good? Everybody nod your head yes if you're listening, paying attention. Okay, good. So I think that it's important for us to look back while looking forward to ensure the best possible future. And so that's why we're going to start this morning in Exodus, because I think that there is a biblical call on our lives as Christians to remember. I think there's a biblical call on our lives as Christians, as followers of Christ, to remember. All right, so if you guys are with me in Exodus, go ahead and go to chapter 12. Go ahead and go to chapter 12. So let me give you just a quick update on this book, the book of Exodus. At the very beginning of this book, you see Israel, God's people, are in Egypt. Just a small contingent of them are in Egypt, a small group, and they end up growing and multiplying to a great number. And so all these Hebrew people, Israel people, same name, they are in Egypt, and the Egyptians are like, there's a ton of these Israel people. Well, let's put them to work. And they actually end up enslaving the Israel people, the Hebrew people, God's people, and making them slaves for 400 years, okay? And this isn't like an easy thing. Like, this is terrible. Like, they are dehumanizing these people. It is a brutal slavery that that the nation of Israel is under in Egypt. And they begin to cry out to God to say, God, would you rescue us? Like, save us from this slavery, from these chains that we are in, and rescue us. And so God hears his people, and he sends this guy named Moses to go and lead his people out of Egypt to the promised land, where he would rescue them, save them, continue to make this people more like him so that they can be a light to other people around the world. And so this is where we catch them up in verse 12, is right at the cusp of them leaving Egypt. So there have been plagues and all of these things where God is showing his power and his might over Pharaoh and over the gods of Egypt that they worship by going through these 10 plagues that most of you guys know about, of God saying, hey, I am the real God. I am the only God, like, who is worthy of worship and praise, because I'm the only one. I'm the most powerful. All these other gods are just made up and are worth nothing. I am God. I am. And so here he is on the right at the verge of the 10th plague, which is the death of the firstborn, which is terrifying to us, I think, because we would say, oh my goodness, like how would that happen? How could this possibly happen? And it is in response to the evil and the sin that has come out of Egypt, and basically a direct response to the fact that while the nation of Israel is in Egypt, Pharaoh issued a decree that said all of the firstborn, all of the males, all of those who are born to the Hebrews are thrown into the Nile and drowned. And so, like, Pharaoh was a bad dude. Like, he's killing babies. Like, this is the most terrible, like, the worst injustice. It's terrible. And so in response, God is saying, okay, this has happened, and so this is my response to that. But because God is a God of grace and mercy, he allows them a way to say, but if you do this, you will be spared. And all it is like, follow me, listen to what I'm saying to you, and you will have this thing pass over you. And so here we go, Exodus 12, 14 through 30. Actually, 28. So I'm going to read this. So I, yeah, if you guys pay attention, I'm going to read through this for you guys. This is talking about the Passover and what they had to do to be a part of this group that was spared. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses, for if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days. But what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared by you, and you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. Next. In the first month, from the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner, that means like an alien or a traveler, or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwelling places. You shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is on the basin. So just talking about the top and the side posts of the door. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. One more. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you as he's promised, you shall keep this service. And when when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshiped. Then the people of Israel went and did so as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. Yeah, we can go to the next one. So before we jump into this next part, this is, God is laying out these very specific instructions. Like you're sitting there listening to me read this, and you're like, what is all of this? And he is giving these very specific instructions, but here is the cool thing. These instructions for this Passover meal, if any of you have ever heard that, Passover is a thing that that is celebrated to remember what God did. And it's basically, the way that you were saved is that the blood of the lamb was placed upon your home and you were rescued. Does that sound familiar at all to any of you? Yes. That the blood of the lamb is the thing that saves these people. That is a call forward. Like, they didn't realize it back in the day, but this is a direct call forward to the very reason why we celebrated Easter last week. So I'm going to keep reading here. Just a couple more verses. This is Exodus 13:3. Then Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came from Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Today in the month of Abib, I love that, you are going out. And when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you shall keep this service, talking about Passover, you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. So he's talking about Passover here, to be celebrated. Next one. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. No leavened bread shall be seen with you, and no leaven shall be seen with you in all your territory. So here, pay attention right here. You shall tell your son on that day, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt, and it shall be to you as a sign on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this statute at its appointed time from year to year. So God is setting up this festival, this celebration, even before they're out of Egypt, was saying, hey, you're going to do this because I'm about to rescue you. And every year at this time, you guys are going to sit around as a family and for a week remember that it wasn't you that brought yourselves out of Egypt, but it was God who brought you out by his power, by his might. So how many times in our own lives do we find ourselves rescued by God and maybe we try to take a little bit of the credit for it by saying, well, I did this, or I tried really hard to kind of put my life back together. And I can tell you guys this, like, you can try to put your lives back together, but the only person who's going to make you whole is Jesus. Like, that's it. End of story. And so the cool thing is that he's saying, hey, this isn't just for you guys that's happened. Like, this is for future generations. Celebrate this. Remember what I've done. And so here's the question that I want to pose to you guys out of the fact that I think this just continues to remind us of a biblical call to remember, to celebrate, to remember what God has done. Again, that's why we celebrate Easter. How would your faith change if you consistently remembered and celebrated what God has already done in your life? I want you guys to think about that. Just take like 10 seconds, just really fast. How would your faith be different if you consistently remembered and celebrated what God's already done in your life? And so, again, this is Easter. This is Christmas. This is you celebrating, man, every morning, thank you, God, for another day because you gave this to me. I didn't earn this day. You gave this to me. How would your faith be different? What would your mindset be? How would you react to other people? What would your viewpoint on God look like, even in the midst then of really tough times, of moments where you're like, man, God, I don't know where you're at right now. Like, can like just help me out here? But in the midst of those moments, you say, I don't know what's going on right now, but I can look back and I know I've seen you work in my life. And not even in my life, but all through Scripture, I remember and I see the way that you have worked and have cared for your people, and I'm one of those people, and you love me. So even though I don't really know what's going on right now, I know that you still care for me, even in the midst of this tough time. And so here we jump to the next slide. So here's the cool thing, is that Passover has ended up becoming communion. So watch this. So Passover, we just talked about that, remembering Israel's rescue from slavery in Egypt, kill a lamb and spread its blood on the door as a symbol for God to pass over. So what rescued them was the blood of the lamb. And so a couple thousand years later, this guy Jesus shows up on the scene and he said, hey, I am the new lamb. I am the fulfillment of this promise. Jesus becomes the lamb, and his blood is what saves us and marks us as his children, as his family, like that we are rescued by Jesus. And so communion is basically the Passover meal in a smaller form. That's why we take the bread and the cup, because Jesus says, hey, this is my body. Like, you've done this. It's during Passover. Like, they're celebrating the Passover meal, and that's whenever Jesus stops and looks at his disciples just before he's to be arrested and killed. And he says, hey, this meal here, I want to point you in a new direction. This bread, this unleavened bread that you guys, that we eat every year, I want you to look at this now. This is my body broken for you. And this cup that we drink with this meal, this is my blood shed for you. And so now when you eat this, remember me. You can like think of the Passover, think of all the good things that God has done, but he's saying, hey, I want you to remember something new now. I want you to remember me. And so that's where we get communion from. And I think that we don't, maybe not all of you know that, or we haven't really talked about that a lot, but I just think that's so cool that we have the old covenant is Passover, remembering what God has done. And then even in the new covenant now, we see and celebrate communion because we know that it's not just, hey, kill this lamb and spread it on your doorpost, but that the lamb that saves us, he had a name, and his name was Jesus. And that's why we do Easter. Like, the whole reason that everybody gets dressed up nice and everybody shows up for church on Easter and we're all there is to celebrate what God has done, like that Jesus did something that we couldn't do ourselves by saying, I cannot rescue myself. Israel could not rescue themselves from Egypt. So look what God has done. And we say, man, I couldn't save myself from my own slavery to sin, but look what God's done. And I think that's a really cool thing. And we're constantly called to remember what Jesus has done for us, what God has done for us. At the very end, after he's done the first communion, basically, that's when he says, do this in remembrance of me. Like, remember what I've done here. Remember what I'm about to do. Remember this moment. And again, what if our faith changed because we remembered? So I think a couple things happen when we remember. So go ahead, we'll go then jump to the next slide. Here's what I think. I think when we remember, or when I remember, I'm reminded that it's not by my strength that I'm saved. When I remember who Jesus is, when I remember the things that he's done in my life, I'm constantly reminded, like, oh, yeah, that's right, I'm not that great of a person. Jesus has rescued me. And I'm immediately brought into, like, this state of humility and thankfulness. When I remember, I see all the ways that God has moved in my life. Like, you can look back and say, man, here, 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 here. And even in the moments that you don't see, I can promise you that God's still moving. But how cool is that to just look back and be like, wow, God is so faithful to me. When I remember, I see the way that God has been faithful, even in tough times. So kind of what I said earlier, that even in the midst of hard things, we're saying, man, God, what? I don't see the full picture here. What are you doing here? We get to look back and say, but I know that you've been good, and I know that you'll continue to be good. And so jump to the next one. So here's, I think this, not only do we think about those things, but this remembering produces these things in us. Again, humility, deeper faith, a trust in who God is, confidence in his plan, peace in the storm, and ultimately thankfulness and worship. So whenever we sing, whenever we praise, like whenever we jump up and down, we're excited to sing and praise God, like that is us saying, I remember what you did for me, and I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to thank you for that. Like, that's what true worship looks like, is remembering in those moments, man, God, you've done all this stuff for me that I didn't deserve, so thank you. Thank you for this. And so if you guys don't walk away with anything else, here's the main point for today. Here's the main point for today. Remembering reorients our hearts around God's work of redemption. Let me say that again. Remembering reorients our hearts around God's work of redemption. When we remember what God has done, I think it changes us. Like, it's those moments, I find myself furthest from God when I've just, like, not been in Scripture or I haven't spent time with God, because I forget all the cool things and amazing things that God has done for me, and I begin to get confident in myself. I'm like, yeah, like, I'm a pretty cool guy. Like, I can do this. I'll be fine, you know. I don't need help. And that's usually when I find myself, like, in the worst positions in my life, because I just assume that I've got this. But when I remember and consistently look back, I'm reminded, oh, yeah, no, it's not on me. It's on God. And I think that's comforting to us, because all of us can rest in the fact that, no, it's not on you to save yourself. That would be impossible. But because of God's love for us and for each and every one of you guys, he's like, I got you. You're rescued. You're saved. And so for the next couple of weeks, we're going to have some different people up here, like, just sharing their stories and looking back on what God has done. And so I think that hopefully it will be a good time for us to be encouraged by other people remembering and sharing their stories of what God has done. But for us too, as a group, to focus on, man, what has God done in my life? How has he moved in my life? Because when you're looking for those things, then you begin to see them more often, I think. If you're not looking, if you're just totally oblivious and you're like, yeah, whatever, that's cool, I think we miss it sometimes. But I think if we're actively looking to say, man, God, how are you working my life? I think he shows up. And I think he's always there. But I think that if we begin to train our eyes to look for how he's moving, I think we see more. And it just makes life completely different. And so I just want to encourage you guys this morning that, man, like, are you doing this? Are you remembering? The best way, easiest way to remember what God has done is to read about it and to say, man, God, what have you done? And there's literally a whole book here that has story after story about how graceful and how merciful God has been over the history of forever. And then even for us to reflect and to say, man, God, what have you done in my life? How have you acted upon my life? And thank you for that. So I'm going to invite the band up, and I'm going to pray for us. But again, as we sing, as we sing this morning, would you guys just focus on remembering what God has done for you? Would that your words that you say, that even the words on the screen, as you say them, as you sing these songs, let it be out of a place of thankfulness and saying, man, God, I remember what you did. I know that I need you, and I know that you're good. Let's do that together this morning. So I'm going to pray for us while the band comes up. Jesus, thank you so much for all that you've done for each of us, that you have offered us salvation, that you've offered us rescue, that we don't have to walk through this life alone. I'm just so thankful for all that you do. God, I would just ask that just over the course of the next week even, that you would help us to remember as students, as adults, that we would see what you've done in our lives, and that we would just continue to be thankful for all that you're continuing to do. God, would you give us eyes to see you working? Would you give us ears to hear? And just draw us close to you so that we would remember what you've done and that we would be changed because of that. So we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.